Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think there's a 65% chance.
I don't give a shit about numbers.
They're going to take the guy that they hope would be the successor to Brady.
Being able to sit behind the GOAT.
I, too, had sex with a GOAT.
Dale Arnold.
Why the number 10?
I'm going to let you guys figure it out.
Huh. I hold all the cards now.
Grow up. Rich Keefe.
When I look at LeBron, he's not what Michael was. LeBron doesn't have that gene.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
So I tried out to get a radio show at my high school radio station, and they said no.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Who got the last laugh there, my friend?
I did. I'm a radio professional now, Dale.
How many
did they say no?
I mean, how many of the kids who worked at the high school radio station at St. Paul's School, how many are working in radio right now?
They're probably all doctors, so none.
That's
probably lawyers and doctors, so none.
I can just imagine. You're adorable now. I can imagine how you were in high school.
Even more so.
Right.
Even
more
so. He
said he hit his peak in the eighth grade.
Yeah, eighth grade, I was really the man. But high school, not bad. Still hanging on to it for a little bit.
Now, Don Sweeney is an SPS alum, isn't he?
You're damn right he is.
So he's just going on to be a general manager.
Yeah, he's doing okay as well.
Of an NHL team.
Yeah, that's true. He's doing all right.
Yeah. Not doing radio, though.
No, he's not.
Not killing it.
No, he's not. Ow. Although he's invited. Anytime he'd like to join us, he can hop on. That'd be great.
Some St. Paul's talk?
Yes, we could. Talk about what dorm were you in. You know, stuff like that.
See, you got to go back. You got to go back to SPS.
Yep. Yeah.
And just openly mock people.
I will.
On the radio. On the school radio.
Yes. I got to break in. They probably wouldn't let me in there. And then just say, I'm doing a show.
They don't know who you are?
They don't. They probably do not. A lot of turnover since I've been there.
You got to start ponying up some donations.
They keep asking. I said, well, if you gave me a radio show, I would have.
See?
But you didn't. You screwed me.
That's right.
You screwed me. You delayed my path.
That's right. Taste it, St. Paul's.
So I have a kid who's a fairly smart kid.
Yeah.
And when he was in high school, he wanted to take calculus. And one of the advisors there said that she didn't think that. Now, that was within his skill set.
Oh, no.
So he went on to get his PhD from Yale in statistics.
Right.
And he always swore he was going to go back to this high school wearing nothing but his PhD hat.
Good Lord.
And just walk the hallways.
He's going to be a streaker now?
Nothing but that.
Does that send the message?
See, now that's what you need to do.
It's a good grudge.
Wearing nothing but a set of headphones.
Why do I have to be naked for this? How does that send the message?
It's all about the impact.
It's just more embarrassing for me. That's all it ended up being. That's the last thing I need to do.
Work out for a few weeks before you go. That's all.
Get in a couple of sit-ups and let it rip.
I don't know. This is a good plan.
But just the thought.
Right, I'll think about it. Fair enough.
But can you imagine a guidance counselor or a teacher saying, I don't think that'll work out for you? Would you even say that?
Well, that happened to me in college too. Same thing when you have like the career services people,
right.
And they're sitting down. They're like, "What do you want to do?" And I'm like, "Well, I'd really like to get into sports broadcasting." And the guy says, "That is a narrow field."
You weren't able to make your high school radio station.
Right.
So
that's
come
what he
on,
said.
Richard. What are the chances?
He goes, "Why don't you shoot a little lower? Like, what about something else, like sales?" I'm like, "I don't want." Sales.
Shoot a little lower, like college guidance counselor. How's that sound? All right,
in your face.
Please.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be the best of all. Do that. Come back with that.
Right.
Don't you always find that those great comeback lines always come to you later, though?
Yeah. Oh, much,
of course.
Yeah, the jerk store called.
When you're sitting,
you gotta turn around and go back.
When you're sitting there staring him in the face, they don't come at all.
You're like, and then
you too. No, you're not. You are. I'm not.
Yeah.
And then that night when you're laying in bed, you go,
I got to show up tomorrow, don't I?
Why didn't I give him that?
Get the same result. Yeah.
Well, I am proud to have you here, despite the fact that the radio station, WSPS, said no thank you, little Richie.
We're doing better than they are. They could pound sand.
That's right.
That's what I say. Yeah.
Those 10 constantly cooking watts that they've got going up there.
It's a nice, if you're in, if you're on campus, you can hear
pick
them.
It up in the parking lot of the building.
No, probably not.
I just subscribed to their podcast. So
did
I'm
you
good.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
so I'm good.
God. So you can hear them anytime.
Do you think they have? Well, they might.
They might.
This day and age.
Do you think I know how to subscribe to a podcast? That's the first question.
You should, Steve.
Other than your yours because you hooked it up on my phone.
The Dork Podcast.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, you already put that on my phone.
He's an avid subscriber of the Dork Podcast.
Not only did he put it on your phone, he took everything else off your phone.
I don't know how to get rid of
everything else. That's all you need.
I had a good conversation with you yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah,
good.
You didn't listen.
No.
So it turns out, now we were going to have Steve in today anyway because we love having Steve in. We like talking stuff about Steve. And then all of a sudden, a couple of football things come across the... And you know, you could probably do this any time of year, but a couple of things in particular came across, and I'm always curious to get Steve's take on this stuff. And let's start with Colin Kaepernick. So the AAF, not the radio station on the first floor.
No.
You know, the new football league.
The new football league that is underway and got a lot of buzz last week.
A lot of buzz.
A lot of buzz.
So the AAF reportedly reached out to Colin Kaepernick. And by the way, Tim Tebow as well.
Smart. And they should.
Oh, no, absolutely.
They should reach out to Manziel.
Rossi has always said that that's what Vince McMahon's going to do
for the XFL. Absolutely should.
He's going to reach out to these guys as well. But the reports are that they reached out to these guys. Now, Tebow, to his credit, said, listen, thank you very much, but, you know, I'm not interested.
He's playing baseball. He might be in the opening day roster for the Mets, and that's not a joke.
Probably not, but...
Really? You want to bet on it? I bet he is.
Here he goes.
You want to bet?
You see what you've done to him now?
What are the odds? Shine, what are the odds on Tebow being on the opening day roster? You're going to find that. That's going to be
It's
going to
be about plus 400.
Okay. I think that's good. There's good money in that.
Speaking of odds, Dale, you weren't here, but did you get your You get your $380?
What? Hello?
Hold on a second.
I bumped it up a little bit for us. You got your $380? No? Just
check. Okay, Rossi.
Well, Rossi, there was a holding fee. I don't know if you remember the holding fee.
Rossi's got some, every day some there was splaining to do now. $46 if I had holding.
Took a few dollars away. That's all that was.
But yeah, I saw that with the AAF. It's kind of interesting.
But well, Tebow at least has a reason. Whether he's on the opening day roster or not, he is doing something.
But that's also the response.
Right.
Thank you. I appreciate the offer, but no. Now,
not haggling with him.
The first report was that Colin Kaepernick asked the AAF for $20 million. And I'm thinking, God.
Which, by the way,
really?
The contracts, they all have the same contract.
Right.
$250,000
It's communism, apparently, in the AAF. Every guy's getting paid the same. And it's $250,000 for three seasons, and they all have opt-outs if an NFL team, you know, signs them.
Right.
So they're all getting paid the same. I can't imagine that they're all... But regardless, that's what they say. So $250,000 over 3 years, and the report is Kaepernick wanted...
$20
million. Oh.
Now, Barry Wilner... Barry Wilner of the Associated Press was the one who reported that Colin Kaepernick said, sure, $20 million, and I'm yours. Darren Revelle said that's not true.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that brings some sense to
he wanted more.
What?
To who?
According to Darren Revelle, he actually... Now, we don't know a number from Darren Revelle. He said that he wanted
more than like the entire roster combined.
More than the league is worth
more
at this
league.
Point.
Right. Right.
Now, if it's true, and you've got two reporters now, you know, basically saying the same thing, we're just quibbling about the numbers, then forget it, Colin Kaepernick. You know what? Go do what you want to do. Forget about this phony baloney, I want to play football again, because you obviously don't if that was your answer.
Right. Or, like, because he also got offered to play in Canada. This happened a year or two ago. He got offered to play in Canada. He said no. But you could make the case that I only want to play in the NFL. I think I'm an NFL player. I only want to do that. Because Tebow also turned down Canada. This is before he went and joined the Mets.
Right.
So if those guys only want to play in the NFL, you get it. But this leads me to believe that he was not willing to join an NFL team as a backup, or he was not willing to take, you know, a lot less money in order to just get into a camp and compete. And this really hurts his case about being blackballed. It does.
Well, here's the thing.
Absolutely.
He's got this collusion lawsuit against the NFL. If he goes and you know, takes $20 million, you know what it was? He didn't have the smarts to do what Tebow did.
Agreed.
Which is just
say
you know
no.
what, thank you.
Like,
I'm,
why
I'm,
bother?
I'm good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he tried,
what if,
what he tried to do, he tried to put a ridiculous number on it, and if they met it, then okay, that might be worth it.
Right. I'll go play 10 games or whatever, 8 games, or however many games they're playing. I'll make $20 million.
Yeah, and show people that I can still throw the ball and get another shot at the NFL.
I don't think he wants to play football.
I don't think so either. Yeah, he's been out of the league now for quite a while. A
couple of years. He's missed
2016.
He played in 16.
Was his last,
so two
his last
full
funny,
seasons he's been out.
It was funny. I was rolling through my my Twitter timeline to look what I tweeted the first few times. Very early in 2014, I said, it looks like Colin Kaepernick's losing it. That was 2014.
Well, the Niners thought he was losing it. They benched him, and then he ended up getting the job back. He, you know, his stats were okay in 14, but then in 16, he wasn't the starter at the very beginning of the year. Then he took over. The team was terrible. And, you know, every week you would see an updated list of awful quarterbacks in the NFL, yes, like Nathan Peterman and Josh Johnson and Mark Sanchez, and everybody would see, yep, that and say, you're telling me these guys are better than Kaepernick? Well, the reality is, no, Kaepernick is better than those guys,
right,
but how much do those guys make? And are they willing to be the third-string quarterback and only play due to injury? Like, there's a lot that kind of, sure, goes into it.
Well, also, you can't discount the baggage that comes along with it, and I'm not saying that's a collusion thing. It's not inconceivable that each owner said, do we really want this mess? Especially,
yeah,
when you talk about...
Yeah, they didn't
about,
need to get together to reach that decision.
And as a backup quarterback.
As a GM, you probably got a little common sense when it comes to it, especially when you talk about some of these Midwestern cities and teams. You know, that might fly in San Francisco or on the East Coast, but in the Midwest, that wasn't selling well. So you're eliminating two-thirds of your teams right there. So I think he looked at this and saw an opportunity to throw a stupid number out on the thing, and if they met it, that's fine. He wasn't smart enough to handle
it. But it looks
right
really
way.
Bad.
It does.
Like,
that's
just
what I mean.
For anybody trying to defend Kaepernick, and I understood it. I understood, like, oh, he's definitely getting blackballed. And you're like, well, you know, look at all these bad quarterbacks, and how come he's not in there? But he never really made it clear, either he or his agent, that, hey, this guy is willing to go into camp and compete. He'll go to a team, and he doesn't have to be the starter right away, but he believes in himself, and, right, and he'll win the job. And, hey, he'll sign a one-year deal at $10 million or less. You know,
right,
one-year deal, prove it, play well, and then make what other quarterbacks are making. Because I think $20 million, let's say what it is, I think, did I see a report, like half the quarterbacks in the league make $20
million
or more?
There are 16 quarterbacks, yeah, in the NFL who have an annual salary, right, of $20 million or more.
Right.
Now, we've said that he certainly is good enough to play quarterback based on, you know, the eight quarterbacks that the Washington Redskins brought in during the course of Josh Johnson and Mark Sanchez.
You would think so.
But do I think that he's a $20 million a year quarterback?
No, he's not.
No.
Nope. No, he's
nope.
not. And that's why, is that one of the reasons why he's not in the league? Or, like, yeah, I wonder how far any of these conversations have gone. These quarterback hungry teams, do they even reach out to him or his agent and they find out what the price was and say, well, forget that.
Well,
we're just looking for a backup.
Wasn't there a team that that had some money on the table?
Seattle? I think, I don't know if they had money on the table, but Seattle brought him in. The thought was they might sign him, and then they ended up going with, I believe, Austin Davis
Baltimore,
as their backup. There was a rumor
Baltimore,
with Baltimore, too.
And his girlfriend got involved in a Twitter thing with the owner or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just something crazy. And here's the other thing. How long has he been out of football now?
2 full years. As a quarterback?
He's missed 2 full years.
Right.
Didn't play extensively, you know, the 2 years before that. Played
wasn't
some.
And was not good.
No,
tell me all you want about his numbers.
No, he wasn't.
He was not good.
Now, we've talked about this before when it comes to any kind of off-field distraction that you might be. And I understand domestic abuse and kneeling for the anthem shouldn't be in the same conversation.
Agreed.
But unfortunately for the NFL, they are when you're bringing
right.
in a player. And Kaepernick obviously has become the face of players taking a knee. He was the first one to do it. He's the one most closely associated with it. But he's also not the only one. And you see Eric Reed, who was his first teammate to join him
yep.
doing that. He was out of the league for a little bit. But then he signed with the Panthers, and he just re-signed with the Panthers. So he is in the league. Kenny Stills is the guy I always think of, but there are others
mm-hmm.
that did it during the year, have done it multiple times, and then is he out of the league? No, he's still in the league because they think Kenny Stills is good, or they think Eric Reed is good. It really comes down to talent. Like Kareem Hunt is in the league because they think that he's going to be able to help their team.
Talent
if he was worse, he wouldn't be.
Talent will always get you extra opportunities,
yeah.
but I also there was when you talk about Colin Kaepernick, he was the face of even though Eric Reed was. I think Eric Reed, from what I've understood, is and talking to some other people about it, he was probably the first in line for this, and then but Colin was a higher profile guy and decided to wear the socks with the
pig socks, which was obviously a mistake and such a distraction
that was
but,
the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely right. But
even if I tried to defend Kaepernick about some things,
that one
there is no defense
that
for that one.
No,
and there never
not.
Has been.
But you, that's the thing. It's they sit here and they'll try to tell you, well, the immense talent that he is, you should regardless. It's and they're trying to stifle his free speech. No, what they're trying to do is what's best for their team. That's the issue.
Yeah.
And if he's demanding, imagine what he would have demanded from an NFL team if he's demanding $20 million from an AAF team.
Do you think that if the AAF was able to put that kind of money together that Kaepernick would even have played?
See, I said to Rich earlier in the office, I said, wouldn't it have been great if they called his bluff?
Mm-hmm. Like, sure.
Yeah. What if they said, okay,
agreed.
Here we go. And he's then like, he's going, whoa, wait.
Hold on, what? Yeah, he's like, I need that $20 million up front. So like, yeah, fine. Go ahead.
Well, that's the report. When you talk about the report, it says he asked for $20 million to consider playing.
And then Darren Revelle said more.
Right.
More than $20 million to play in the AAF.
I'll tell you something else. Watching that first weekend, they're not protecting the quarterback either.
But that's one of those things where it's
they're going to get a quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to play in this league, but he's just looking for I don't know what. But this, I don't think
bad PR move.
It is. It really is. Like, this is going to get out. This was going to come out. Right. Someone is going to report on this. And it just makes your whole, the last couple of years, what you've been doing look so much worse.
Yeah, it does.
It has the feeling, though, of one of those things where you're like, hey, if this tweet gets 1 million retweets, I'll do whatever. That's right. And like, you're not anticipating having to do it.
Yep.
That's what it kind of feels like by asking the AAF to pay him $20 million. Like, he has to know how much the league is even worth and what their budget is.
See, I almost wonder if his ambulance chaser lawyer, Mark Garagos, is basically saying, Colin, we got a lawsuit against the NFL. Right. If you're playing football, that lawsuit's going to, you know, evaporate on us.
I don't know about that. Don't you think he would still have a law? Because he could say, look at this league wants him, but this league doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering if the legal advice is, and we have no indication that any NFL team has been interested in the last year or more, but you know, hey, Colin,
I think if he played, imagine if he played for $250,000.
Yeah.
If he did that, you would say, wow, this guy really wants to play. He's dying to play.
And by the way,
the NFL's keeping him out.
It's $250,000 over 3 years.
Not guaranteed.
Yeah, right. They get $83,000 a year.
Right.
Everybody in the league gets the same amount, basically.
I think that would strengthen his case against the NFL. If he played for what everybody else was playing in that league.
This kid just wants to play.
Yeah, that's like, oh my God, look at this guy. He's dying to play. He's playing in this league. They're knocking helmets off of quarterbacks. Like, he just wants to play.
But then he might be exposed because basically what you're talking about is a college all-star league. And if he comes in and doesn't perform, now all of a sudden it's like,
That's also why you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a risk. I think the message initially would be, wow, this guy just wants to play. The NFL... Look at what he's willing to play for.
Right.
But instead, he does the opposite, and he asks for $20 million, or more than $20 million, to consider playing. Like, ugh.
Just strange.
Kick it out of his own way.
I mean, it's like every bad PR move you could make, he makes. You know, and I'm not saying that the taking a knee thing, he didn't intend that as a bad PR move. It ended up being that because the president went nuts about it.
Mm-hmm.
The pig socks thing, the Castro T-shirt.
Right.
I mean, it's like... Everything he could do, even if he's adamant about, we need social change, we need this, he just keeps shooting himself in the foot. Just tell the AAF, like Tebow did, thank you.
I'm all set.
I appreciate it, but, you know, that we're good.
Compound that with the idea that, and I have, again, no idea if it's true, it's one of those internet things that you hear, he was never registered to vote. That was one of the reports you heard about too.
Either he wasn't registered or he just didn't.
Or
like
just
in
didn't
the last
vote.
One, he just
right.
didn't.
So
vote,
if you haven't voted, I mean, you're really going to be a political activist if you're not voting?
Yeah, I guess he doesn't the process.
I mean, I guess.
Well, the Electoral College, Steve. It's a whole thing. It's
how
not
about
really...
local elections then? it doesn't matter. Whatever.
No,
way,
he's going.
He's in California. Whatever way he wants, it's going that way anyway. So.
Right. Probably.
But yeah, I just it's one of those things where I honestly. Don't blame owners for not wanting that excess baggage. And I get it. There's owners that make, like the Kareem Hunt thing, there's owners that will allow a certain amount of baggage for, and I hate to refer to domestic abuse as baggage. That's not what I mean at all. But it just shows you that talent will get you more chances.
Yeah, and teams are willing to withstand negative PR if they think the results are going to bear out on the other end.
How about this? I was thinking about that Kareem Hunt thing, too. To announce that you signed him without following that up with an extensive schedule of his rehabilitative program towards treating people the right way and doing the right thing and becoming a better person. Why don't you meld that with the fact, hey, we just signed Kareem Hunt. Not, hey, we just signed Kareem Hunt. This could be a steal. How about, and we're putting him in the, and he's going to be in this program. He's going to be working this. He's going to be seeing, getting therapy and help and talking to people and doing everything he can to solve his issues. Why wouldn't you do that? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And Dorsey's a smart guy. I don't understand why he wouldn't do something like that.
I don't know how many folks are left on the defend Colin Kaepernick bandwagon. There are some. Mike Freeman is a guy on Twitter who constantly defends him and, yep, and decries the fact that he doesn't have an opportunity. I wonder what they say in the aftermath of these reports. I mean, what does Mike Freeman say now? My guess is what he'd say is, yeah, well, I haven't seen Colin Kaepernick say he wanted $20 million.
I'll tell you what his defense is. Well, why shouldn't he ask for that? He's worth it. Hmm. That's exactly what someone like Mike Freeman would say. He'd be, why would you expect him, just because the NFL has a policy, a corporate policy against him, why would you expect him to play for something less than he's worth?
Because the entire league makes the exact same amount of money, which is $83,000 per person.
He's special.
He is special.
He's special. That's it. Why? I mean, you're asking him to would I sell you a $20,000 car for $4,000? Why would I do that? You know, I mean, that's what Freeman would say, and he'd be flat out lying.
Yeah, right. He's wrong because he's not worth he's in any league. He's not worth that much money.
Yeah. So, but there will be defenders, and you're absolutely right. There'll be people that will attack anyone who goes after Kaepernick for asking for $20+ million.
We got a lot of things we're going to get to throughout the course of the day. Chris Berman's going to join us at the top of the hour.
Sweet!
Chris Boomer. Berman is one of those guys, it was announced yesterday, who will be part of the Red Sox radio broadcast next season. One of the eight who will join Joe Castiglione.
Anyone else didn't see? Anybody else?
No, I think that was it.
Oh, so the Lou Maloney. Lou and the McDonough guy.
Sean McDonough's doing games.
Hope he doesn't hear you say that.
Mario Empemba?
Yes.
That's
I was very excited.
Dave O'Brien.
Oh,
you're thinking of Dave O'Brien,
right? That's so good.
Tom Karen from Nesson you were thinking of?
Yep. So that's a nice lineup.
It's a really good group.
Kind of wrapped it up there. That's really all you need, really. Anything else?
No. I don't think they need any more than that.
Nope. That's it. 162. Right. That's it.
Go on. Get out of here, Dale. Great day. That's going to be great to hear you.
It'll be fun to do. Yeah. We will continue the football talk, though, when we come back on the other side. There has been this weird conversation over the course of the last few days. Karen Garigian, I think, kind of started it when in her piece in the Boston Herald, in which she spoke to Hall of Fame voters. And today, other people across the nation have taken up the topic as well. The whole Rob Gronkowski, is he Hall of Fame worthy? And the people who actually say, no, I don't think he is. Terrell Davis had 3 great years in the NFL and is in the Hall of Fame. But we'll get to all of that as well. Steve DiAssi is in the house. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
UEEI.
We return to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday with Dale and Keith right now on UEEI.
Deion Branch. Anybody getting that bust ready? Anybody arguing Deion Branch is a Hall of Famer? It's the same career. I'm sorry to interrupt. Like, we can't do this. We can't all of a sudden be such prisoners of the moment. That I know it's going to be weird when the only offensive player to be with Brady for a long time to make the Hall of Fame is Gronk. Like, Randy's obviously, and he's only there briefly. Like, right. I know that's odd, and it's a testament to Brady's greatness.
Kind of appropriate, isn't it, that the song that's playing in the background is You Suck! I mean, it kind of works.
A little bit. It works. Fits.
Falls Count Anywhere Friday, so Rossi digs deep into his treasure trove of wrestling intro musics. All right, so this came up recently in the Baseball Hall of Fame balloting, and the whole, you know, finally Mariano Rivera became the first player in the history of baseball to get 100% of the votes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it should have happened many times before this.
You can think of a half a dozen names easily, off the top of your head.
Right. But, you know, I have no argument about him being 100%.
Agreed.
Should have been 100%. And I've never understood this, the argument of, well, he's a Hall of Famer, but not first ballot.
Yeah, you are or you aren't.
You are a Hall of Famer or you're not a Hall of Famer. And to kind of encapsulate the argument, Karen Garigian wrote a great piece in the Boston Herald. And she talked to some Hall of Fame voters, and many of these voters, or some of these voters, said, look, he'll get in, but not right away.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell does that mean?
It's simple. It's if you're not going to put 10 to 12 people in the Hall of Fame every year, and you look at the qualified candidates, and you say that, well, you know, we're going to put in four, maybe six guys, whatever, and you look at that list of nominees, and you're saying, well, he's more obvious a Hall of Famer than this guy. That's why you have that first ballot scenario.
Part of the problem is there is that log jam where they're like, oh, this guy's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. So like Ty Law, he didn't play any extra games over the last 3 years, but all of a sudden he's a Hall of Famer now, but the last 2 years he wasn't a Hall of Famer?
No, you just look at the more obvious Hall of Famers that might have been in the years that before him, preceded him. I don't know who it was, but I'm just telling you, that's the thought, a lot of the thought process of the people that cast the ballots in the Hall of Fame, that you're not going to put in 8 to 10 guys every year.
Your friend and business partner, Fred Smirlis, is a great example for me of, unfortunately, he played a position. Sorry, they don't put them in the Hall of Fame. They should.
There's one.
He should.
There's one other nose tackle.
Right, and he should be in that group.
Not even a question.
Don't have an argument with that. The problem I have is, if you're saying, well, I mean, I got this cornerback here, I got this wide receiver here I got to put in. Stop comparing Rob Gronkowski to those players. What you're talking about is what he did, his position.
Yep.
I will state unequivocally, he's the greatest tight end who's ever played the game.
Okay.
Period. End of story. Better than Tony Gonzalez.
Okay.
Better than Antonio Gates. Better than Mark Bavaro. Better than everybody. He's the best who's ever played. Doesn't that count for anything?
It should. You should be able to get it right away.
And that will put you in the Hall of Fame. It depends on the year that you're first nominated. It depends on the excitement over your career from 5 years before. I mean, you look at any Hall of Fame ballot, you can pick at least three very obvious candidates are going to be in that year. When you have Marino or Elway or when Brady gets on it or whatever, there's not even a question. Those are slotted. Those are done. That's the way it is.
And I think he falls into that category. Wrong? I do. Yeah, because of the position.
Here's the problem. Then you're going to have to put other guys in there that have accomplished certain things, like numbers-wise.
No.
Numbers-wise.
But his numbers and his position
are off the charts.
I mean,
just like Jimmy Graham's?
Yeah, but I think you can look at with what Rob...
So now you're going to the eyes and not the numbers.
No, I'm not going to eyes, okay. But how come everybody talks about his blocking. Everybody talks about how he's a complete tight end. That has to mean something. Jimmy Graham's never blocked a guy in his life.
But you don't get into the Hall of Fame at tight end for blocking. You just don't.
But why not?
Because
a receiver position? It should be both.
So you're comparing him
to every wide receiver who's ever played.
You're comparing him to receiving tight ends. What I'm saying is if you're sitting here trying to tell me that blocking gets a tight end in the Hall of Fame, then why isn't Mark Bavaro in the Hall of Fame right now?
I didn't say it got you into the Hall of Fame. Dwayne Allen's not going to be into the Hall of Fame. Right. I'm just saying Gronk versus Jimmy Graham, I think there is a clear distinction. Jimmy Graham is a tall wide receiver
who
sometimes lines up on the line of scrimmage on next to a tackle.
Agree.
Gronk is a more complete guy. I think he combines the regular season success, the crazy numbers,
the
postseason success. He's got the three Super Bowl rings. He has the All-Pros. He has everything.
Agreed.
I think Tony Gonzalez kind of skews it a little bit because, God bless him, he had a really long career. So his overall stats are insane. He's up there with all these top receivers, but he played twice as long. It's not like Gronk played 4 years. He played nine.
I'm not disagreeing with the talent. I've said that many times. He's absolutely the most talented tight end, and that includes blocking because I do appreciate blocking from a tight end.
Right.
But I'm just telling you that when it comes to Hall of Fame voting, very few voters will sit there and try to make a huge case about someone being able to block unless you're an offensive lineman.
I will freely admit as I add this into the discussion that I am a bit of a phony when it comes to this.
For sure.
You don't even know what it is.
I agree with you. Wait a minute, Rich.
You're spot on, Dale.
Thank you very much. So Pro Football Focus grades players at positions. And the joke I've always had is if their grades, you know, verify what you think, then you like them. If they don't, then you don't like them. But here's what they put out. They've graded tight ends, the highest single season grades by a tight end since 2010. Okay?
His rookie year, by the way.
Number 10 on the list is Jimmy Graham. His 2011 season, he ranked number 10.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tie for 7. Jason Witten in 2010, Greg Olsen in 2015, and Gronk in 2016. Number 6 is Gronk. Number 5 is Gronk. Number 4 is Gronk. Number 3 is Gronk. Number 2 is Gronk. Number 1 is Gronk. Since 2010, he has 7 of the highest grades for a tight end at his. I mean,
and
he
that's
has
I like
been
too.
The
not even a,
best tight
not
end.
Not even a question.
Yeah. And I think that the easiest thing to do is comparing guys, and we talked about this in baseball too, is you have to look at the era that they played in. So I'm not going to go back and compare Gronk to Mike Ditka or Kellen Winslow. I think that's just too tough. The game has changed. So you got to look at how they stack up against other guys. So to me, Ty Law, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson, were all Hall of Famers in my mind.
To my point, I think you're 100% okay. Correct. Give me your top two of those.
Top two?
Of those three you just mentioned.
Charles Woodson and Ty Law.
Champ Bailey.
Ty Law.
All right, see?
I am a
you knew where
huge homer with Ty Law.
You knew where I was going
But
with
I think
that.
There's room for three. I think at that position, you can have three from,
no,
a, from
no
an
doubt.
Era.
No doubt. Yeah, I'm surprised they had two cornerbacks
in this class. Yeah,
yeah.
I was a little bit surprised too. Yep. But I think Gronk is on that level to me. So in the article that Karen Griegen wrote, she mentions, or there's a quote from Ron Borges talking about how they have put in 35 first ballot Hall of Famers over the last 19 years. Mm-hmm. So it does happen. Guys like Randy Moss, guys like Ray Lewis, I want to say Brian Urlacher, like as soon as they're up, you're like, boom, get them in there.
Not even a question.
And I think Gronk is on that level.
35 out of 19 years?
Yes.
So less than two a year.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't happen much. But I think Gronk is on that level for me. Like, I don't think he's one where it almost doesn't matter. Like, I don't even need to know what the class is.
Right.
Because they're not limited to two Hall of Famers. So this year, they have a pretty big class, actually. So I think whenever he is up, it just makes sense to put him in. I don't know what the holdup would be.
All right, what happens if over the next 5 years, let's say he retires now, and over the next 5 years, this year, how many tight ends did you have with 100 catch seasons?
Three.
What if you have another 5 years where you've got three, four, five, six tight ends catching 100 balls a year.
I think you're starting to get into a different era.
All of a sudden,
I think you are. I think you're starting to get a little bit more
change. But here's the difference.
Yeah.
5 years is not enough time for an era to take hold, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to give it a little longer. But I agree
with you. But let's also see if Kittle and Ertz and Kelsey, how many years they do that for, too.
It doesn't have to necessarily be them. We never knew Kittle was going to do it this year.
Although he seems awesome.
Yeah, there was nobody at the beginning of the season saying
that
Kittle's going to be doing this. But, no, I agree with you. And again, I'm not disputing the fact that Gronk's a Hall of Famer. I just think that when you're looking at his overall numbers, that's going to give some hesitation to some voters about a first ballot Hall of Famer.
All right,
and it also depends on who's in that voting class, too, who's he's up against.
All right, let me give you a comparison. Tony Gonzalez was a first ballot Hall of Famer at tight end. First ballot.
Tony Gonzalez was.
Yeah, should be.
He was 100% should be.
All right, so if you look at the numbers through nine seasons for Tony Gonzalez compared to Gronk through nine seasons, okay? Tony Gonzalez he played 143 games. Gronk only played 115.
Makes sense.
Okay?
Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez had 7,810 receiving yards. Gronk had 51 more. Despite the fact that he played considerably fewer games,
right.
Tony Gonzalez had 56 receiving touchdowns.
What was Gonzalez's first year?
I'm sorry?
What was Gonzalez's first year?
97.
A little different.
No, I also think this is not a great argument because
a little different.
If Tony Gonzalez ended his career after 9 years, he's probably not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
But the point here is simply what Gronk's body of work is so far.
Yep.
It's greater than Gonzalez's.
Yeah,
Gonzalez was a first ballot.
Tony Gonzalez
had 56 touchdown catches. Gronk had 79.
Right.
No, but Gonzalez played another 9 years or whatever after that.
I understand, but for those people who say, well, Tony Gonzalez, a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I don't have a problem with that, by the way. But Gronk, I mean, someday maybe, but Gronk's better.
Well, but part of Gonzalez
Gronk is better than Gonzalez.
But availability and all that stuff. Tony Gonzalez has some. I don't want to compare him to Craig Biggio because I think Craig Biggio shouldn't be a Hall of Famer. Tony Gonzalez should. But he has part of that where his stats are so overwhelming because he played so long.
You're
not going to take half of his career
credit,
and compare it to Gronk.
You do get some credit for longevity, but but if you're talking about those type of numbers. I mean, he had good numbers for his whole career, but then you extend that career out for as long as he played. Now, all of a sudden, that turns the corner on him.
If you go back, and I made this point before the break, Terrell Davis had three great years in the NFL. He had four years, but three great years. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
What are you doing those 3 years?
He was great. I said he's great.
Right.
That's not my point.
But that's a bit of an understatement.
But great. You're underselling him with great.
Steve, he only had four.
I know. I'm not disagreeing.
Healthy years in the NFL.
I loved watching him play.
But when he was great, there was nobody better.
Right. I mean, 2000
yard season. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Those seasons? Who was better than Terrell Davis?
Oh, I thought you meant ever. There's been nobody better ever.
Barry Sanders. But I'm just saying, like, Terrell Davis and was a Super Bowl MVP and a regular season MVP and a 2,000 yard rusher. So that was hard to top.
Here's the other thing you have to take into consideration, and it's just a factor of the game. It is, I don't want to say easier, but it is more likely that you're going to get into the Hall of Fame as a quarterback, as a running back, or as a receiver. How many tight ends are in the Hall of Fame?
Good question.
Seven, eight, nine, maybe? I mean, I think it's somewhere around eight or nine. It's tougher as for a tight end to get into the Hall of Fame. It just is, and it's not even and I get it because quarterbacks have the ball every snap, and running backs not as much as they used to be. Or well, it's evolving a little bit. Running backs are touching the football, 20 to 30 times a game. Wide receivers are glamorous and exciting. It's easy to see all that stuff. So it's again tight ends. Is not a, I think it's an even more elite scenario because there's only eight or nine tight ends in the Hall of Fame.
Here's the, oh, there's nine in the Hall of Fame. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jason. Here's the other argument that just drives me nuts, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, Gronk had a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, somehow that decreases his skills and abilities.
Yeah, but I think what also helps him out a lot would be nobody else is in, right? Like, he had a Hall of Fame quarterback, but all these receivers that, besides Randy Moss, it's not like he just created a million Hall of Fame guys. He's the one.
Right.
And this is what it looks like when you have a Hall of Fame receiver and a Hall of Fame tight end. Like, that didn't stop Marvin Harrison. He got it. He didn't get in first ballot, but he got in, and he only played with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
True.
Right? With a guy who was lighting up the scoreboard. So that didn't penalize him.
How many? That's the other thing. You look at okay. All the Hall of Famers from the Pittsburgh Steelers era that won those four Super Bowls in 6 years. Okay, their quarterback's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but was he really a good quarterback? Was Terry Bradshaw?
No, he wasn't.
Do we go back to the whole different era argument?
That different era thing, but also just the winning, and they rewarded the dynasty, I guess.
But he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Better living through chemistry.
Yeah. Mm. So perhaps. Especially for their offensive line.
Yep.
But the you can... When you're reaching that far to say, oh, well, he played with the best quarterback ever, okay, is that his fault? I mean, he still stepped up and did what no other tight end did for him. There were other tight ends that they brought in here that could have done certain things. He came in what? In Brady's ninth year, 10th year?
I was going to say 2010 was Gronk's first year. So, Brady had already been in the league for a while.
Right. And he had some tight ends that could have stepped up and done the same thing, but none of them did.
And I'd make the argument as well that Gronk single-handedly changed the way that position was viewed because of the way Brady used him and the whole combination of skills. He was different than anybody who had played the position at that point. As you said, Jimmy Graham couldn't block you.
No, that's not his thing.
No, he didn't want to.
Not his specialty.
If he wanted to, he could have. He's a good enough athlete, but he didn't want to. He didn't care to.
He was busy doing other things. He did a lot of touchdowns. Yeah, he was good at that.
617-779-7937. We'll get to the calls with you just on the other side. We'll talk to Chris Berman at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keith. We've got Steve D'Ossi in the house, Sports Radio W.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
DEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. We will talk to Chris Bourbon at the top of the hour. A little after the top of the hour. Let's get to the calls with you guys as we talk about the whole Gronk. By the way, I'm not convinced he's going to go. I was.
What do you mean? Go to the Hall of Fame?
No. That he's going to leave. I was convinced.
I agree.
Oh,
I'm not convinced anymore.
Nope. I think he's gone.
I think there's a possibility he could come back for one more.
What? And I have absolutely no facts or evidence to back this up.
Perfect.
But what's your opinion on why? You know,
he was having so much fun. He was enjoying everything so much. I can see him sitting there saying, God, I mean, when you talk to me after losing the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Five minutes after losing.
I kind of liked this. This was kind of a good time.
Yep. And I think he was having so much fun because he knew it was it, and he better enjoy himself.
That could be a case. Now you have an offseason where you're healthier than you were last offseason, and you just won a Super Bowl. And you were mugging around with Tom Brady, looking like you were enjoying the
hell
out of
it. They were having a good time. They're still going to be friends, though.
Yeah.
They will be friends.
They're going to be friends.
When Gronk moves out to Hollywood, how much are they going to
hang? Doing action movies? They'll hang.
Huh?
They'll still hang.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be in his Instagram videos. Don't you worry.
Tom's busy. Tom is
a busy guy.
He's got another 3 or 4 years of football to play. And
that's true. They can hang out during OTAs, though, if they want.
It's not going to... Well, that's the other thing, is Tom coming to the OTAs. But
probably not.
And I'm with you, Dale, but only probably because I want to see it happen, and I think...
I freely admit part of it's wishful thinking on my part, but man, he just... And part of it was the videos with Brady, and part of it was just seeing the joy he had at the end of that game. I mean, it's easy to say, walk out when you're on top. What could be better than that?
The fairy tale story.
And it is. Yeah. I understand. Michael Strahan walked away with a Super Bowl title under his arm. That's great. But what if part of you is saying, God, that was really fun?
But then, so are you forgetting what you felt like week 8 or week 10 or week 13? I mean, you got to ramp yourself back up for another season.
You
got to
do all that. Memory.
Yeah, maybe you do. But I still think that he's done. He's not going to retire right away because he doesn't want to take away from the team and the excitement and everything else. But I think he's done.
And I didn't believe him when he said, I'll take a week or two to think about it. I'm like, that's not enough time right now. You're gonna,
right.
You know,
with all this.
You got to relax and think about it a little bit more. But I don't know. And I'm just half using some of my old mentality, but it's a lot different now. These guys have made a lot of money, and it's not a matter of, I don't care what the situation was. If they're going to offer me that kind of money to play football, I'm all in.
Right.
Now these guys are smarter with their money and made
There's
more money.
Of it.
And have more opportunities. So that I don't have a frame of reference to factor that in, but I just look at and it's so much fun. The locker room is fun and winning is fun. And it's.
And when you're done for a long time.
You're done. And you make all the movies you want. It's not going to feel like that locker room when you win a Super Bowl. Just not.
Peter's in Fitchburg. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Pretty good.
What's going on?
Very simple Hall of Fame standard that I have.
Okay.
If you have to think if a player belongs in the Hall of Fame, he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think that's the case with Gronk. I think we all sit here and agree that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Now all we're doing is talking about the specifics of it.
I think overall, Peter, that's a good standard. But sometimes there might be a player that you just don't realize had the kind of resume that he did. So I think if you're a no on a certain player in whatever sport it is, but somebody can convince you in 30 seconds to a minute, like I think there is something to that.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that. If you think of it that way, then is the Hall of Fame something to actually honor people, or is it a reward that a person expects? if they don't get in the first ballot, if they don't get in by a certain time, it becomes an insult. How dare you not?
It has happened.
Hank Aaron not get that unanimous vote.
Terrell Owens was pissed. Terrell Owens got in, but not right away. He was mad. So some guys
didn't show up at his own induction.
Yeah, he was mad. He was mad about it.
Harry Carson, who was as solid a Hall of Fame inductee, had the misfortune of playing with Lawrence Taylor, who was the the first of the first ballot Hall of Famers ever, and he had to wait despite a ridiculous resume, and I can see how that would bother guys.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I will talk to Chris Berman in just a few minutes. We'll get back to your calls as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Diassi, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.